Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace.
He's deceptive. He can appear as a good guy, trying to help us out, but he lies, he tricks, and in the end, he devours. He is our enemy because he is God's enemy, and for the most time, he is the enemy unseen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for the gathering of these people to fellowship, to worship you, and Father, to learn from your word. So as you teach us now, encourage our hearts, open our minds, and may we receive that which you wish to give us today till we are equipped, armed for the battle ahead. And we'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take a quick review of where we left off last week with how Satan attacks and his weapons. These are temptations that Satan uses against us. He encourages us, independence from God. He wants you to doubt God's word, and the greatest example is in the beginning in the Garden of Eden where the serpent said to Eve, did God really say? And Eve got it wrong. She added two, which is the third one. He wants us to doubt his word rather than sticking to God's word. We don't have to add to it. We don't have to take away because it's truth. He wants you to worry. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Be of sober, meaning self-controlled spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm, being immovable in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He tempts believers to lie. We talk about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 3, who sold a piece of land and brought to the church with the idea that this is all that they had sold it for, and actually they held back a portion, which was not sinful. It was not wrong. What was wrong was to lie to the Holy Spirit. And because of that, God made an example of them to show them that our lies don't go unnoticed. We have to make sure that we're true and not liars. He uses our pride as a weapon to divert us from God. That relates back to the independence. I mentioned that a definition of proud is an overestimation of one's means or merits. He wants us to think greater than we are, puff ourselves up rather than looking upon others as greater than ourselves and keeping our thoughts of humility, one of the benchmarks, one of the hallmarks of Christ. Who do the proud submit to? No one. They are independent within themselves. And he wants us to display our cowardice. In society, the ones that get the attention are the ones that are doing the most growling. And the ones that do the most growling and complaining are those who are not for God. Our once nation that was founded on Christian principles is turning so far away and focusing on self. And it's running into great problems because of that. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and verse 8 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or ashamed of me, meaning Paul, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He wants us to have an unforgiving attitude. In fact, Pastor Ola and I were able to go down to Moody Theological Seminary, where I graduated from, and hear Gary Chapman speak to a group of pastors. It was a really encouraging, inspiring time. And he spoke a lot about not only unforgiveness, but how we apologize. You know, he wrote the five love languages, but he also speaks about five ways in which we apologize. And seeing things in a whole new way. I've got, honey, so much to be sorry for, that I've got to write you a long letter, I think. It's amazing how we look at this, but unforgiveness is rampant. Is that a word? It is throughout the church, and we are so easily offended. Why are we so thin-skinned in the church? I don't understand that. Christ forgave all of our sins, all of our ugliness. How are we ever able to hold back something that someone did with a slight word or a perceived offense? Finally, his last and maybe most effective weapon is discouragement. He wants us to wallow in it. There's so many things to become discouraged about. Are your finances, your situation, maybe in your job, maybe in your marriage or with your children. So many things that can highlight our lives, but how often do we take those things to God? How often do we sit before Him and just let it all out and release them to Him? We just read, cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Do we take advantage of that? Or do we keep thinking and circle thinking all those things that are causing us to be upset and causing us to be even more upset? Paul had the same problem. He was not unaware with disappointment. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He had a thorn in the flesh, and we're not quite sure what that thorn is. It could have been a computer. I'm not sure. Just checking. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. A lot of times we can suffer, but it's because we blew it somehow. But there's also a suffering that Paul talks about that we get because we follow Christ. And we need to understand that and accept that it's okay for whatever discomfort that can cause us to be discouraged now is all erased, either at death, when we go home, Christ comes back to take the church. So, it leaves us with, how do we defeat Satan? How many came back this week with great anticipation? What's he going to say? Four of you. Great. I love that. I'm wearing the shirt of niceness, aren't I? I don't have my smiley face on, so I'm wearing, that there. All right, one. First, with a right attitude and a realized promise. We need to have a right attitude and a realized promise every single day. What do I mean about that? Let's revisit a verse we just spoke about worry, in 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9. Casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Don't be naive about Satan. Don't gloss it over. You remember, for those who grew up in the church, be careful, little eyes, what you see. All that through the eyes, the ears. We need to take that seriously. It's a great little children's song, but it's really good for adults too. There are a lot of things that we let our eyes see that we just dismiss that, that'll be over in a minute, when we should be turning the channel or walking out of the movie. We've done that a few times where we go, my ears can't take that anymore. It may be rated PG. We don't go to R's. We never watch R's. That's not in. The only one we have watched is The Passion of the Christ. That's it. For years now. But even PG now is questionable. What you listen to, what you speak, because I guarantee you, the more you hear that, the more your defenses are being knocked down, where it becomes part of the natural language. People say it and they don't even understand what they're saying or realizing they're saying it. Don't be naive about Satan, because he is out there to make it, just to dismiss it and not take it seriously. Stand firm, people, not on your words, your actions, or your accomplishments, but in God's. All the don'ts that churches put up, not all of them come from God's word. A lot of don'ts that people have put upon and put a yoke upon are the traditions of men, not in God's word. And so when you begin to read God's word and follow that, it's filled much more with do's. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if your neighbor asks you to walk a mile, walk two. You know, it's a lot of self-sacrificing for the sake of others so that Christ might be exalted. Think of others more greater than yourselves. We have to stand firm in God's truth and not let Satan tweak it a little bit with the headband of whatever it was. Remember in the fight, too, that you're not alone. That's why I believe that the encouragement in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, do not forsake the gathering together, as some are prone to do, but all the more as the day is approaching, get in there. Sunday is important. Or sitting home on TV is not a fellowship. There is some good teaching on TV, but there's a lot of bad teaching on TV too. There's a lot of self-teaching out there. And I don't want to address which is right, which is wrong, but this is primary because this is the church. The TV has become the church. Now, there are some times when you're sick and you can't get out. Understandable. But if you're just tired from the night before, there's an evening service at 6:30, which is the same message. You know, and actually, I will be honest with you, there are some that come in the evening time because of that reason. And I don't have a problem with that. God said, though, in chapter 3 of Second Opinions, you got to be there Sunday morning. No, he didn't. But you do need a fellowship. Why? Because this is where the building up of the body comes together. Many are living like those who have not realized the promise of Christ. And they need to be here so that they can hear God's truth, not God's oppression. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, but he, meaning God, gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You're a child of the victorious King. Live like it. Not with self-righteousness, but with a righteousness that shines from within, that has people asking, what's different about you? And let me tell you a story. Tell them how your life was before Christ. Tell them how you encountered Christ and how he's changed your life. And that free gift is not built upon any of your merit, but upon his glorious death, burial, and resurrection. Don't forget the resurrection, because that's where the power is. A lot of God's small g have died and are still in their graves. Only Christ came out. Not only came out, but he was accountable for 40 days to walk the earth. Up to 500 at one time, the word says. So it wasn't a quiet coming out either. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bibles. If you didn't bring a Bible, you can grab a chair Bible around you. And look at the appropriate. Someone brought that skit to us last week, and it just seemed too good to pass up not to use it this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. That was cute. I spent my time at the craft fair playing with the slides. I had fun. Ephesians chapter 6, starting verse 10. Finally, Paul has given them a letter of encouragement, of admonition, of telling them to be imitators of God, and talked about the marriages on earth as like the marriage between Christ and the church and family relationships. And he goes, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And he says, put on the full armor of God. I feel the same way sometimes. You know? That's hard. Bye. That's hard. My heart goes out to him. You are going to start crying next, I know. So that just don't pull that on me. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that, this is a purpose clause, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle inclusive, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. People, we are in a battle. People don't realize that we're in a battle, but this is what God says, and we're called to come against that. It doesn't say, run away, from the rulers. Run away from the powers. No, stand against it. Stand firm. Therefore, he says, take up the full armor of God, so that, another purpose clause. Whenever you see the word so that in God's word, he's telling you, do this because of this, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. So stand firm, therefore, okay, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which with you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, with all these things he just listed in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. The scripture here gives us a mental picture of our defense, what we clothe ourselves with, ready for battle. If you notice what I just read, he says to do all these things and then be on the alert for. If we're on the alert, if we encounter Satan, the enemy, wait, just a second, I forgot something, you got to run home and let me get my armor on. No, put that on first and then and you're able to go. Don't reverse it. You know, you have to prepare yourself. Be like the American Express card. Don't leave home without it, okay? It's amazing what pops in my head. The first thing is truth. Truth. Girded your loins with truth, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, literally means. Support yourself. When I was doing some research on that, I saw a lot of belts with a lot of excess that was going over top of it. They need support. We need to support ourselves with truth. God's word says, not what the pastor says, but his word. That is the truth we need to keep around us at all times. That will support us. In anything that we encounter difficulty or challenge our faith, if we stick with truth, if we gird ourselves with that, we'll be okay. Righteousness, verse 14, having put on, that's again that thought of before you do anything, just do this. It's a mental picture, the breastplate of righteousness. The NIV says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Before you do anything, keep that in place. Don't leave home without it. The breastplate protects the heart. Where does God live? What do we say? Where does God live all the time? Here. God lives in my mind. You know, he's a very intellectual. No, he lives in our heart. That's the tenderest spot. Without the heart, you know, we can be, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be unkind, but we can be brain dead, right, and still be actively, artificially kept alive. But once the heart stops, you know, it's not long. We have to be careful. We have to have this righteousness that comes from God that protects us because our heart is a dwelling place for God. Peace is another one. Having, well, that term again, always shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet are to be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We are bound under. We stand upon the promises of God. We stand upon the gospel message. And we are ready to go, therefore, and share that with anyone. What, 1 Peter 3:16, you know, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense for anyone who would ask you. People, we got to be ready. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've asked him into your heart, if your sins have been forgiven, you should be able to share that testimony with anyone who would ask you. Oh, it's personal. Can't share it with you. No, it was not meant to be personal. It was meant to be shouted at the rooftops because you have been given eternal life. And you need to shudder for your family and friends that have not accepted him yet. That brings peace because a lot of people are worried about tomorrow. You know what? When you have Christ in your heart, the worries of this world become a lot less. Yes, there are concerns. But the truth is, everything works out one way or another. Faith in verse 16, in addition to all this, taking up the shield of faith, which the purpose clause, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You saw that arrow flying by? You saw Kevin holding that? We won't see them. coming. We won't see them coming all the time. Sometimes they can take us by surprise. And if we're not prepared, if we haven't prepared ourselves out there for the battle of just going outside into the world, our neighborhood, our workplace, wherever it might be, maybe it's going to church. I don't know. I hope that's not the church that we are. I can't imagine that. But in some places, have walked in on vacation and felt like there was an invisible cone around us, you know, where no one speaks to you. And you can do funny things at that point, though. Faith. We have to have faith because it extinguishes the arrows of the evil one. Then salvation. The helmet of salvation. What does a helmet do? What does your mother tell you in the wintertime, since the time that you were able to listen and figure out words? In the wintertime, can you go out and play without a jacket? No. Can you go out and play without your snow pants or your snow boots? No. Then if you got those, you're all set to go. Oh, the scarf. You need the scarf, right? You're set to go. No. What else do you need? You need a hat. Why? What does a hat do? It keeps you warm. What? The helmet of salvation covers our head, defend against the thoughts that would invade us if we're not careful. We have to remember in our heads the salvation that God has given to us so we don't lend our minds to things that are not of God. I've told you that there are times when thoughts come in because, man, I'm just strange. I don't understand God maybe at all. But I do little shakes. You might think that I've got a twitch. But, you know, sometimes I just want to do that, physically do something for a thought that I don't need. That person cut you off. I'll bet you can get there faster than he can. Really shaking on time. Guy's having a epilepsy or something. We have to keep our minds clear and strong in him because he has done that. Heart, head, mind, body, soul, right? All of us. Protect the head with realizing you are a saved believer in Jesus Christ. Don't let thoughts invade and distract you. Okay, you got the articles of defense, but you must realize that they only protect you as you go forward. You realize that? Don't walk backwards. You can't run backwards. You can be attacked that way. There are forward, there are against. There's no protection and retreat. Retreat. I'm getting excited. Realize, though, you also have an offense. Our offense is simple. They are a sword in verse 17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You use this in any argument to let it be the divine factor. If there's a difference, if there's a discussion, if there's a difficulty in this church, okay, what does God's word say? Yeah, but I was taught growing up, what does God's word say? I'd rather stand on that. It's not my word, it's his. You know, I have blown people away and they say, you know, the Bible never says Christians shouldn't drink. The Bible does say Christians should not be drunk with. But I'm not going to be against anyone who has a glass of wine at dinner or has a beer. But there's a distinction between the two. I found a Baptist preacher that had the same thought of that, who read that, wow, that's cool. Because, you know, when we're defined by our don'ts, I'm not advocating go out and drink it, but I am saying take God's word for what it is. There are some people that should not have strong drink at all. They shouldn't. Or watch certain TV programs, or, you know, there's certain things that will lead them down a path that will go then against God's word, and you have to be careful. I'm not saying it's universal. But understand that this is a sword that will also cut two ways. It will also cut within our own selves, so things off that we're doing that God says not to do. We just don't use it, you know, but we can use it to defend against Satan by trusting God's word and speaking that truthfully. It says also with prayer and petition, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You can do that, you know. You can do that from the time you wake up to all through work and home and whatever. You can pray in the Spirit because just be in communion with God. Your lips don't even have to move. That's not a prerequisite. You know, you're going to look really crazy. Unless you have one of those little things in your ear. You can just buy one that doesn't work, and that way people are never going to wonder what you're doing. And then the third part of our offense is being on the alert. Do you see that as an offensive weapon? That is our offense because we are constantly, there are times, I love Josh. Josh is so cool. But he's ADHD. You know, I'm ADD. That is not a good combination when driving in a car. You know, especially the, oh, look at that. You know, I've I've learned to say, no, son, I am teaching you that you got to keep your eyes on the road. You know, check your mirrors. You know, you got to do it. People, check your mirrors, because sometimes the attack comes from behind too. You got to be on the alert 360 degrees. Don't do 359, because that 1% he will find. Don't be paranoid. It doesn't say being paranoid, but be on the alert, realizing that he is out there prowling like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But also it says here, with perseverance, with prayer for all the saints, not just yourself. Lift others up. That's why we put the prayer sheet, you know, in your bulletin each week. Lift those up, even if they're past. You know, the point is, in every occasion, pray, persevere. Satan trembles when he sees even the weakest Christian on their knees praying. Verse 18 tells us to persevere, not giving up. Keep on praying until we receive God's answer. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth. When you open yourself to prayer, to what God wants to tell you, he will tell you what he needs for you to do. It's not a list of us, but it's a listening from him that helps us to see what his plan is. I have a thought that I put down, but you know, you're in God's army, but you're not in the Secret Service. Okay? We're called to be active. We're called to wear Christ so that people might be drawn to him, not repelled by him. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. How did he begin it? Our Father who art in heaven, not my Father. He could have realistically done that, but he was teaching the disciples that we are a collective group of people who believe in the risen Lord. We have to understand that we ought to be bearing each other's burdens and not caring for them in silence on our own individual shoulders. All right, to wrap it up, because you guys have been great. I didn't want to deny the skit. Next week, I'm going to have a printout for you for all the enemies of God, the world, the flesh, the devil. The scripture references those things for how you can recognize it, the way that we engage it and to attack our offense and our defense, because people, they are not the same. If you use what I just told you about Satan against the world, you're going to lose. If you use what's taught about the world against the flesh, you're going to lose. You have to understand, recognize what the attack is, and have the appropriate response. You may have the greatest heart in the world for God to do that, but if you don't understand, you will continually live in defeat. Wrap it up. Enemy one, the world, the enemy around. We talked about being in the world, not of the world. How? Watch and pray is the secret to victory over the world. Mark 13:33 says, be on guard, be alert. This is Christ. You do not know when the time will come. By keeping our eyes on the Lord, we have a less chance of being consumed by the world. Enemy two, the flesh, the enemy within. Keep watching, Mark 14, and praying that you will not come into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Play dead to the flesh. It cannot overpower you unless you give in. And people, that is hard. Enemy three, the most dangerous, the devil. In fact, in controlling of all the other two, the enemy unseen. Peter said, be of a sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But here's Paul's admonition in Ephesians 6:18. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, which is talking about the armor of God and all that comes with it, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. The Bible tells us to resist the devil and he will flee, but I guarantee you he will always come back. Usually at our weakest points, when we will give in to him or might give in to his schemes. To be a faithful believer, effective for the building up of the kingdom and not be affected by the enemies of God directly or indirectly is impossible. Because if you're not, you're probably a prisoner of war anyway, and you're ineffective. But if you're out there for God and God's purposes, you will be attacked. The Bible says not if you, but when you come under trials. Knowing how to engage each and understanding how they engage us is imperative to successfully defeating them each and every time we encounter them. People, Christianity is a serious faith. It's serious business, and we need to wise up and be quick to give God the glory today, tomorrow, and forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power that it holds in understanding how things move into motion. Would you give us wisdom this week as we seek to stand firm for you? Father, would you again remind us by your Spirit those things which we've learned so that we can have success not because of what we've done, but because what you have done, the ultimate defeat of the enemy by raising Christ from the dead. So, Father, for whatever we face and whatever victories we have with you, we praise you because of him. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. Praise the Lord, which God supplies, strength unknown he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go alone.
Grace alone,
grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Father, continue your purpose as we go out into this world to make a difference for you and relying on your strength, we pray for success. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.